complete. Ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have commit and we have liftoff at 2:13. The Saturn V building up to 7.6 million pounds of thrust, and it is clear.
You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey. Disc jockey.
Whatever.
I hear it all the time when the album coming. They be thinking this shit happened overnight, like I ain't constantly been putting in work, grinding, going hard, and nobody giving a fuck. They don't see family and friends on they flip shit. Niggas sneak dissing and then want to come talk all in your face like everything cool. Day one's not giving a fuck, you know what I mean? Turning their back on you. Do it all, big and small. I still talk.
Heatmakers. Crack music.
Got props, my resume is impeccable. Call itself, I be spawned for wreck. Steady mobbing, keep a phone on deck. No messy Marvin, I ain't starving for sex. I'm different, out of sight, but I'm arms distance. Garments vintage, no rivals, now non-existent. Pop pimp shit, praise is a part of my ways. Holy A's, no grays, plus my barber could blaze. The flyers, since the 90s had nigga writers. Revenge is priceless, you're seeking your highness. I'm in his likeness, license. Real or vice, reserved on chill. Spill at will when I light my herbless bill. Bigger checks for a big exec. I'm getting money, fuck who getting upset. I can't do it. Sucker shit, see right through it. Could never cuff a chick, I just get right to it. Was taught well. Time is the answer to all. Take a break, but when it knock, you better answer the door. It don't wait. Me, I base my life off fate. I move accord. If your mind not in place, you might mistake what's important. Time is the answer to all. Take a break, but when it knock, you better answer the door. It don't wait. Me, I base my life off fate. I move accord. If your mind not in place, you might mistake what's important. A glass of the finest of grapes, your boy straight. You don't see no stress lines in my face. Can never hate. The calm before a ticking time bomb to detonate. Fold your arms, close your eyes to this song and levitate. The loner, weed clouds keep the kid in the coma. Homeowner used to cop a Favonia. Live nigga shit. Firearms with the five finger grip. Before the iPhone taking a flick. I'm from the ever. Now everybody with whatever, but with a cheddar. Y'all better get y'all shit together. It's getting close. Seeing me is like seeing a ghost. Young souls to OG, I'm just showing you proof. You gotta love it. Low key, I hover above it. No puppet, paper only, or we can't discuss it. Do the math. Dummies dumb out when they mad. Before that bag, when you disciplined, you stay on the path. Time is the answer to all. Take a break, but when it knock, you better answer the door. It don't wait. Me, I base my life off fate. I move accord. And if your mind not in place, you might mistake what's important. Time is the answer to all. Take a break, but when it knock, you better answer the door. It don't wait. Me, I base my life off fate. I move accord. And if your mind not in place, you might mistake what's important.
Goodness, you guys. Okay, first of all, I love you and I miss you. And I know you guys are like, what the fuck, Co? Yes. So I really am not even supposed to be talking right now. But if I wasn't, the spirit wouldn't have me talking. So I'm supposed to be talking. I tried, you guys. I tried to kind of like, you know, step back a little. Because the last time I spoke to you guys, first of all, how the fuck are you? Okay, I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody is healthy, in a good place mentally, physically, spiritually. Okay, because if your spirit is fucked, everything else is gonna follow suit. You dig? It's only a matter of time. But last time I spoke with you guys, I was like, I won't be back until the book is done. And so that truly was my intentions. Obviously, I stayed away as long as I did. But Spirit had other plans. And so I move accordingly, right? So let me give y'all an update on what's been going on since I last spoke to you guys. So the book is coming along pretty well. It's very emotional, so it is not something that I could just finish clearly in a month. This is my truth that I'm writing, so it's a lot, and I'm still living every day on this journey, so you know, yeah. But I will say I'm very proud of the progress that I have made, and I hope when it's completed, you guys, you know, get a copy, read it, and I hope it is a great novel or a great book for you to read. Again, you know, I'm just writing my truth, so take it as it resonates or don't. But yeah, so you fucking guys, first of all, shout out to Portugal, all right, because they last I checked, they were the latest country to listen in, so I appreciate you, Portugal. Thank you. If I didn't mention that before, mentioning it now. So I appreciate all the love, you guys. You already know. Okay, so that's that, right? I don't know if you're living under a rock, if you haven't heard what's been going on in the world lately, especially in the United States, primarily. Because there's been so much fuck shit going on. And the crazy shit about it is how ironic a lot of things getting exposed during Scorpio season. And you guys know I'm a tarot reader. No fucks given to anybody who judges me. Yeah, God is okay with me. And I'm okay with me. So there's that. But I had did a reading last week for the general collectives, because I don't do personal readings anymore. The times that I have done it was very rare, and it was always guided by spirit to do it for that individual. But for the most part, I don't really do it. Don't charge people. Like, my gifts is to serve the community, not to take from them. But that's just me, right? Not throwing shade at any tarot readers who do charge. You know, you do what you're being led and guided to do. I'm not being led and guided to do that or to use my gifts in that way, so I don't, right? But moving forward, yeah, so I had did a reading last Friday on my Instagram page, and I didn't even want to give this reading, you guys, because I had already saw in the messages through the cards and what I was being guided to see and hear from spirit that it wasn't one of those messages you look forward to hearing. And so in the message, I had described a child no longer living, a child not wanting to fight anymore. I didn't know the ins and outs of what that reading pertained to, but I knew that I needed to get it out despite feeling uncomfortable, you know, because you do what you are led to do by the Holy Spirit. And I would advise you don't get in the way of that, because it's grave consequences when you're being led to do something from the Holy Spirit and you blatantly refuse to do such, right? But, you know, to each his own. I listen, because I don't want no smoke. Regard, you heard? So, I put the fucking message out there, as disturbing as it was, only to realize that many hours later that evening, the situation that took place in astral world occurred. And you guys, okay, tragedy is an understatement of what transpired last Friday at this event in Houston. And before I even get into what happened, what I heard happened, what I read happened, let me first take a moment, it's early late, guys, it's probably like 3 a.m. type shit, you know how I do. So yeah, I might be sane and stumbling and whatever, all right, you guys love me because I stay authentic, so this ain't for the people who's looking for perfection. You'll never find it here. I ain't fucking perfect. But I am real, so to my real ones, stay in attendance with me. Yeah, so the situation that took place in astral world is beyond devastating. And I want to take a moment first to send condolences, love, healing, prayers to the families of those affected by the eight that lost their lives at that concert. I also want to send prayers and healing to the 300 plus individuals who were at that concert that ended up having injuries and just mental trauma for those who witnessed in person what occurred that Friday. And, you know, I'm going on the record, you know, no shade to Travis, but, you know, real is real. I'm not a huge, or nah, I can't even say spiritual, don't lie. I'm not a fan of Travis Scott at all. It's not personal. It's just, you know, I'm very particular on the music that I listen to and what I get from it, because I understand how music is a portal. My soul doesn't gravitate to certain things and certain artists. And that's just me personally, right? So I don't know these people. I don't have any ill will towards them. But certain artists I do not listen to and probably will not listen to if their music continues to be what it is that they're putting out. And it's just not him, not to just blast him because of the situation. There are a lot of artists presently that I don't listen to at all. It's not personal, it's just that what they are putting out is something that my soul, my energy does not reflect, I mean resonate with, and it's not harmonious. Thank you, Spirit. It's not harmonious to my energy. And I've said this to you guys very early in my podcast journey, where I made it quite clear that I was very, you know, dissatisfied and disappointed in the direction that hip-hop has went, whether it be male artists or female artists, more so female artists. I'm a female, and I just don't have any female artists that I comfortably can say I'm rooting for. There are some that are obviously successful and put out great music for their fans, but I personally just don't click with it. I want more out of music. You understand? I don't know. Everybody has a different taste, a different desire, different sort of longing or whatever you want to call it. Like, when it comes to music, people listen to it for different reasons, right? As you just heard, shout out to AZ All Day. Like, I listen to music that's gonna feed my soul or teach me something, or I can learn from it. I don't want to hear music that and the whole album is just senseless words of destruction, sex, jewelry, and money. Like, yeah, I can't listen to that all day. And there's nothing wrong with telling your story, but a lot of times artists are not even telling their own story as they present these very low vibrational frequencies through their music. So they're just pretty much rapping about things and not really personalizing their music. And if they are, they're personalizing it in a very toxic way, a very low vibrational way. I could give a fuck. Like, there's so many reasons why I'm getting ready to talk to y'all today, but let me try to stay focused, because there's a lot that I want to say and I'm going to say. So that Astroworld concert is a situation that I and many people would agree could have very well been avoided. I'm a big concert goer. You guys know, if you know, especially prior to COVID and in 2019 alone, I have went to several concerts. Just earlier this year, I went to a concert that was actually my last first and last of the year. I went out to Miami to Trillafest, and I'm mentioning that because something that occurred at Astroworld had the similar energy at Trillerfest, right? And if you went to Trillerfest this year, then you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. When I went to Trillerfest, right, and I had a great time, by the way, I made sure that I did. The energy in the crowd control was at times chaotic, right? So although there was security, obviously, law enforcement and things of that sort available, there were moments where things would try to erupt in a way where you can see that chaos was trying to formulate, right? And when I say that, I mean, like, specifically it was a situation because I was all the way in the front, like literally the stage is there and there's Cole, right? I stay, yo, God is good, I love music. I was literally right in front of the stage. Now, I wasn't always there. So the tickets that I bought was amazing tickets, got me a very good view. But somehow during the course of that evening, people from behind me started pushing us towards, like literally forcing you to go to the front. If it wasn't for this white girl who grabbed my hand, whoever, wherever she is, God bless you, sweetie, because she's the reason why, first of all, I made it up as close as I did, and I made it up there safely. Because the crowd just had this energy of pushing and just erratic behavior. And so I'm going to get back to Astral World, but there's a reason why I'm mentioning what occurred at Trillerfest, because it seems like it was the same kind of energy at Astral World. I'm trying to see whose set was it? Wayne's set. So while Wayne was performing, and I think he actually was the last performance, there was this dude in the crowd. And when I looked at him, you know, I see more on people than what a lot of people see when they look at people. And I sensed he was a chaos agent, because when I looked to the left of me, his energy, his aura was very sinister. I just saw it. And I literally witnessed him just pushing people for no fucking reason. Like, there was no reason to push. Where the fuck were we going? The stage was right there. Literally, the only people in front of me are camera people, okay? So when I witnessed this person pushing, it was like, what the fuck are you trying to create? Now, I'm from New York. Although I was out there by myself, please understand, I'm never by myself. So when I started sensing and witnessing what was trying to manifest, oh, hell no, my spirit guides went bonkers. Like, I turned around, and under normal circumstances, that I wouldn't have reacted that way, right? But I did, and it clearly I did for a reason, because I had to control what was trying to become uncontrollable. And yeah, I say that to say God is good all the time. Thank God I got an army with me that made sure none of that fuckery was happening, because clearly this gentleman's energy was trying to cause chaos, pushing so it can cause pandemonium. And it seems like, and I say that because it seems like, I mentioned this story because it seems like that's kind of what may have transpired on Friday, not to mention those allegations that are coming out now about somebody in the crowd sticking people with needles and all kind of fuck shit. Listen, I'm gonna stick to what I visually saw and not so much as what I have been hearing in the last couple of days. What I visually saw was complete and utter chaos, a lack of control, a lack of adequate security and enforcement, and the barricades that were what people trampled over to even get into this concert, some that didn't pay, was just like, why was that even there? Like, it was made too easy, in my opinion, for what happened to have happened on so many levels, and the culpability absolutely, excuse me, should fall in the laps of the artists that performed and their entourage. Because these are the kind of things you are, as an artist, as a company, as a business, should be trying to foresee and haven't prevention in place for the potential of something happening like it happened on Friday. When it comes to Travis Scott, my understanding is that in many of his concerts, all right, there has been a pattern of this kind of, not to the magnitude where people have lost their lives, but this is definitely not something new in terms of crowd control being uncontrollable. There has been situations where he's received, I think, a misdemeanor of some sort for the behavior that transpired at his events. Like, it almost feels like he encourages this kind of fuck shit, right? And you have statements, unfortunately, from him and prior tweets. So you gotta be careful what the fuck you say and when you write shit. Cause just cause you delete it don't mean it's fucking gone. Somebody done screenshotted that shit. This is the life we live. This is the world we live in, the world of technology and information. So you have to be extremely mindful of what you say. And, you know, even to his lyrics of his songs, he has been quoted with co-signing the energy that was presented on Friday. And I don't say that to say, oh, I don't say that to act as though he wanted that to happen. I'm not him. I'm not in his mind. I can't say what he wanted and didn't want to happen. What I can say is he very well could have seen the potential of this coming, and I feel neglected. This is negligence, huge negligence on his end and the end of his camp, his entourage, that I definitely feel he is liable for what occurred. Did he start it? One could say no. Was it influenced highly by the show or the performance? Sure. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are, his fans are like, well, you can't blame him for what other people did. It's a thin line between that. Because when you're an influential person of that magnitude and you are encouraging violence or encouraging raves and, you know, all this shit, spitting on people in a crowd, telling people at other concerts that he's had to jump, that they'll catch you, and it's like you're promoting this sort of energy. So what the fuck do you think is gonna come? You understand? Nothing positive comes from this fuck shit. So I'm not sure what, I mean, he's 30 years old. You're not stupid. I don't know what you thought was gonna happen. Clearly, when you're giving comments that the wild ones are gonna come, or y'all gonna let the wild ones in. Like, when wild fuck shit happens, don't sit there in the corner acting like, woe is me and I don't know what happened. Because, yeah, you do. This is not the first time you've had an event where shit is spiraled out of control. Real facts. And so, I'm gonna get back to what happened. I'm just more like in awe over his response to what happened. Very rhetorical, very published influence. I'm not suggesting that he doesn't feel bad for what occurred, but I don't think he really understands the magnitude of his involvement in what occurred. And just giving people back their money for the tickets that they bought is not going to remedy the lives that have been lost, the injuries that have been accumulated, the devastation and trauma that is embedded in people's minds from that evening. Like, and it's amazing to me how people always think you can wave money in somebody's face and it's supposed to fix everything. There are some things that cannot be fixed, you guys, with money. That's just the facts. But when you are so accustomed to having money and you don't have any rules of discipline and self-control, that doesn't register to you that you can't buy yourself out of a situation, or money can't just make something go away. Many people that went to this particular concert out of their own mouths and the interviews that they gave, felt as though the concert in itself was very, very demonic. I wasn't there, but from what I could see from video footage, it's no concert I would have ever went to. Straight real. And you talking to a girl who doesn't judge. I love punk rock. I love heavy metal. So I understand with some music genres comes some very heavy shit, right? I get it. And I'm not biased to what people like to hear. Just, again, that ain't no concert Cole would have went to. And from what I visually saw, a lot of things that were set up as props and things like that just didn't sit well with my soul. Yeah, that whole part. Like, it was stated that there was like some weird ass fucking ritualistic type of music being played for like 7 hours nonstop. I don't even think it had anything to do particularly with Travis or his music. It was just like some old weird ass chant that they were saying was consistently being played. But to move forward into the actual concert in itself, I think what really disturbed people all over who knows about what happened is the mere fact that as this tragedy was taking place, Travis was still performing on stage. Drake was also there performing on stage, which may now have been something that he's considering I shouldn't have even been a part of, because now the culpability and liability is falling on your laps because you're an artist that performed. It's not like people are only suing Travis because, hey, fuck Travis, you the one who threw this concert. If there were more artists on that lineup, they'd be getting sued too. So since Drake decided to do an appearance, oh, you here too? Yeah, you gonna catch this smoke. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, people feel that you are just as much as fault as the person who concert this actually is, right? When things like this happen, people point fingers. They don't give a fuck you was there, nigga. You was dancing on the stage. You was doing whatever you was doing. So, yeah, pay up is what I'm hearing. But moving forward, the mere fact that while people were getting trampled over, stomped, and things like this, camera people were notified. So there were like, there was an Asian guy. There's footage of an Asian man, young man, who was literally trying to get on stage. A woman got on the stage and was getting the attention of the camera guy, other people that is affiliated with the show, and is like, you can hear, if I can hear them, how the fuck they didn't hear them? Asking them to please stop the show. People screaming for help, trying to let them know what was taking place on the ground level. And there is footage of Travis out of his own mouth saying, who told me to stop the show? So when Travis comes and does some weird ass acknowledgement of what took place and all these prayers he's given and informing the public how he's going to be working together with law enforcement and all that, and all of that type of shit, it doesn't come off as genuine. I'm going to just be real. It doesn't. To act as though you and your baby mama and anybody else that was with you or in your camp had no knowledge. And we're not saying from the very beginning, right? But there was a point, and when all this chaos was disrupting, you knew what the fuck was going on. There's no way you didn't, because there's footage of somebody informing you and your response wasn't, hey, yo, 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 everybody stop, stop, stop. Your response was, who told me to stop? Why are you still going? Like, what? I don't think you understand, if you ever hear my podcast, Travis, the seriousness of what transpired here, and just giving people their money back is not going to fix it. You might be done off. Like, your career might be finished. Because it was too grand of a tragedy for people to just write out as, okay, well, he said sorry. Those parents who lost their children, one as young as 14, don't want to fucking hear, I'm sorry. They don't want to hear that, because as an artist, who has had a history of people acting outrageous at your events, these kind of things should have been prevented. Should have been, it's a lot of things we could have, should have, would have said that should have happened, but it didn't. And who do we look at for that cause? Like, you don't look at you can look in some level at the crowd, but ultimately, there would be no crowd if there was no concert, right or wrong. Like, these people wouldn't have been where they were if you didn't have this concert. And I know that this is definitely going to open the eyes of many artists going forward in terms of whether they still even want to give concerts, whether they choose to give concerts outdoors, and the capacity of the amount of people they allow to attend any concerts that they're given. Like, one thing I really appreciated when I went to go see Hove in 2019 in Webster Hall is the fact that he made it so exclusive. And one could say he did that for many great reasons. I'd like to believe he did it because, one, less is best, right? If you're focusing on money and in your mind is, oh, well, I have to have a big arena because the bigger the arena, the more people and the more money, then you are simply motivated purely on a very low vibration, and money is going to motivate every movement you make, and it could go and span out of control towards something you didn't even potentially see as being a tragedy, which is what happened on Friday. Webster Hall is not a very big venue. It's very intimate, but I appreciated the fact that when I went to see Hove in Webster Hall, it was intimate for that reason. You know, because then you kind of have a better understanding of the crowd of people that's coming to your event. You know, you don't just want all kind of people. I mean, some people may do. Some artists may not give a fuck who come. They paid, let them niggas in. I don't give a fuck, I got my money type shit. You know what I'm saying? Then you have more conscious, aware artists who can foresee the possibilities of shit going real left if they don't really think through in terms of where they have their event, the amount of people they allow to come, and whether they have it indoors versus outdoors. And so in Travis's situation, this is a whole bunch of people. We're still guys in a fucking pandemic. Like, obviously there was nobody with mask on. I'm quite certain none of these motherfuckers had to show no vaccination card. This is Texas, okay? This is Texas. Nobody had to show any proof that they were vaccinated to even come into this event. Certainly you didn't have to do that in Miami either. You know what I'm saying? It was a different vibe. It's a different vibe in the South, it seems, when it comes to this pandemic overall. But and how they apply cautionary measures to enforce safety, right? Because I'm in New York, you guys know that. And in New York, ain't no, listen, if Kyrie can't even fucking play basketball, what makes you think they throwing events in New York? Where everybody could just go as long as you pay your money. Motherfucker, you can't even go to the movies in New York without being vaccinated. Whether you agree to disagree with that, that's just what the fuck it is up here. Down South, it's more leniency to do whatever the fuck you want. But understand, it's at your expense should you allow yourself to be in the midst of things that operate like that. But I think for me, it saddens me to hear an artist try to address something clearly that happened on their watch, right? But then act confused as to why it happened, or at the very least, act confused as to them not being aware that these things were taking place. And it's going to be really hard. I'm just telling you right now, Travis, counsel and legal team is going, yeah, settlements. Just start with the settlements, because there's really no way for Travis to get the fuck out of this situation. And his baby mama should be quite glad, as clueless as those Kardashians can be, that she didn't marry him, because they would have went your money, okay? We said this is a package deal. See, and it's another reason why you got to be very careful when you marry people. Because their problems are your problems. You're one. Just look at Nicki Minaj and her husband, unfortunately, Kenneth. You know, his issues, things that he did in life prior to even knowing her or being with her or marrying her, falls on her feet because she married him. It's fucked up. But again, you gotta, that's on you. You gotta know what you marrying when you marry people. It's more than just, you know, what meets the eye. These are contracts, people. There is no one in one no more. You one in one is one. It ain't no two, it's one. Think of it this way, you know, if I have student debt, student loans, which I fucking do, right? I'm paying them all as I can. Nigga, I got a master's, so you can imagine how many fucking, yeah, them loans, yeah. But it's all right. When I get married, if my loans, if I don't keep paying my student loans on time, they can very well come after my husband and vice versa. If I marry somebody who has debt and they're not making the preparation to pay their debt off and they let that shit go into default, guess who they coming after? Well, they coming after me now. And they don't need my permission because that's my husband. I'll wake up with money out my motherfucking account and the explanation for why your husband owed us type shit. You did? And I think people need to, that's another thing. People need to be very mindful of the relationships and people they align themselves with. Yeah. So, unfortunately, you know, you now have a situation where lives have been lost. Hundreds of people have been injured. The country and people all over the world is affected by what they witnessed, what they saw. Some, you know, if you weren't there, you probably know somebody who was there. You know what I mean? And it's just, like, heartbreaking to have had to witness this. Like, you know, I'm saddened by what occurred. I mean, the last time, and I'm pretty certain, you know, I'm only 39, so I'm pretty certain there's other events in history where stampedes and concerts going fucking wrong, real wrong, has occurred. But me personally, the only one that stands out for me, that I can recall that was even close to what we witnessed on Friday was back in the days when Puff Daddy, many of you may know or may not, depending on how old you are, back in the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken, don't hold me to this, but I'm kind of sure. If not, you know, that's where you guys come in. You can always enlighten Co, right? Because I don't know everything. But I do know, I think this was around the time Puffy was affiliated with Uptown Records. And they threw a party at a venue where they were over the capacity of the people that should have even been in that venue. And instead of adhering to the fire department's capacity level, like limit, for money, for the love of money, as long as people kept paying, motherfuckers kept letting people in. And I don't know what prompted the stampede, but there was a fucking stampede at this event where, and this was a closed environment, so this wasn't even outside, and where people were panicked. People panicked. And pandemonia shot out. People tried to escape, you know. And I guess when it comes to indoors, people have an understanding that there ain't that many exits. So obviously everybody's going to try to run for the exits. And in the midst of all of that, people got trampled, stomped on, walked over. It was sad as fuck. And I remember that situation so vividly, even as me being a young child in the 90s, because some of the victims that died, rest in peace, services was held at my church at the time, Friendly Baptist Church in the Bronx on Ogden. Shout out to Friendly. Pastor Sutton at the time was the pastor. And yeah, I remember that being in the news, the article, and Puffy caught a lot of hell. Like, I mean, eventually you see who Puffy is today. That shit, I mean, you gotta know some heavy hitters to make some shit go away like that. You know what I'm saying? Or affiliated with. And it didn't just go away like poof, nothing happened. You know, you don't hear about it as much anymore. But if you do your history, or if you know your history when it comes to hip hop, you definitely know that Puff Daddy experienced a similar situation in his early career as well. But if you ask me, could this have been avoided? Definitely could have. Again, I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of what most people are presuming in terms of the concert in itself being a ritual performed in front of everybody, and that those people's souls were sacrificed. I leave that up to people to decipher. What I'll stick with is the mere fact that this was a tragedy that definitely didn't have to be. This didn't have to be at all. And, you know, just saying sorry and I'm going to give people money that they spent on a ticket back is not going to cut it. It's really not. I don't condone, however, the threats that have been allegedly coming towards his daughter or any child. By no means do I encourage that behavior, but it is what's happening now, and it's fucked up. So yeah, curious to see how this shit gonna pan out. So far you got one lawsuit pending for $1 million against Live Nation, Drake, and Travis personally. And I can tell you right now, this shit ain't gonna go well for none of them people. That's just the truth. Yeah. Moving forward though, it's fucked up. But again, my condolences to the family, friends, and individuals who knew somebody who passed away on Friday at that concert, you know, and healing and love goes out to the people, the many people who are trying to heal, whether physically, emotionally, from what they witnessed and what they were a part of on Friday. Last Friday, that is. So, yeah. And so, you know, it just seems like a lot of things are just coming out in the wood, out the woodwork, you know. This situation with Nicki Minaj and her husband and the $15 million lawsuit that is against them, because it's interesting to me how the media finds ways to separate Nicki from the lawsuit. And so it's almost impossible to do that. Because this woman is suing the both of them. She's not just suing Kenneth, and because Onika is his wife, this is why she's involved. No, she is listing Nicki Minaj as well as she's listing Kenneth Petty, because she states both of them were intimidating her, harassing her, and, you know, on top of the sole purpose for why she chose to do this lawsuit, which was, you know, the threats, and she alleges people are trying to convince her to take some type of payout. It was short money too, like $10,000-$20,000, like sounds like hush money to me, and probably to you too. And my thing is always this, if you ain't did nothing wrong, what you offering money for? You know what I'm saying? Like, people gotta watch their movement. Because if you feel you never did anything, why am I offering money to you if I feel like I ain't did nothing wrong? Like, nobody's gonna pay for something. Nobody's gonna take culpability for something that they didn't do. People barely want to take the culpability for the shit that they did do. You dig what I'm saying? Like, who's doing that? But weeks prior, the media kept changing the dynamics of what was going on with that lawsuit. At first, it stated that a default judgment was rendered on the behalf of the plaintiff because Nikki and her husband failed to respond to the suit. For whatever reason, Nikki said it was an honest mistake. And perhaps it was. I'm not sure how many people would honestly forget a lawsuit in which somebody is threatening to sue you for millions of dollars. Like, that's just something you do not. Like, how busy are you? And it's very egotistical if you try to convince us that you make so much money and you or that you don't even pay attention to shit like that. You thought that was just some crazy thing. Nah, I don't believe none of that. If that's the direction we gonna go with that one. But yeah, how did you not? Like, how do you forget? That's like you having a criminal court case. And I'm gonna get to you, Cardi, in a second. That's like having a criminal court case and you don't show up. Or you having a housing court proceedings and you don't show up. And you're going to tell a judge, matter of fact, they done already padlocked your shit. Or they already done set out a warrant for your arrest. And when you appear back in court, your excuse is, I didn't know. It was an honest mistake. Mistakes we make. We're human, right? But that's a $15 million mistake. Like, it seems to me that, and I'm not Nikki, but I'm just analyzing based on the information that's been presented, all right, that it might have been they were just trying to avoid the situation altogether. Like, who the fuck is this bitch? She ain't nobody. It's going on deaf ears. And I feel like that based on the way they handled the suit. Because if you really felt like you didn't do anything wrong and you're looking at the shit like this shit's bogus, when it came your way, you would have got rid of that shit, or you would have had your team, your lawyers on it immediately. Make this shit go away. If that was your intention. This was, in my opinion, very egotistical and pompous, very entitled. They didn't even need to address this, because who the fuck was this bitch? Who does she think she is? She don't know who I am. That's the energy that I'm getting, and why nobody even responded back to the paperwork that was given to them. That young woman, whether you agree what she's doing or not, still followed protocol. All this money, and none of y'all thought to do the same? What, y'all just looked at the fact that she was a regular person and you felt like you didn't have to address her? Well, yeah, you do. And the fact that you ignored her legal proceedings, her litigations, is why now, yeah, see? Karma is crazy. I tell niggas, this universe don't give a fuck. Let's just be clear. All right, because sometimes I think wealthy people, and I'm not just talking about Nikki right now. I'm talking about wealthy people in general. Do you have people who think because they have more money than people or more assets or more of anything than another individual that gives them a sense of entitlement to fuck over people or treat people a certain way or get away with being dishonest, manipulative? And it's like, who cares? You're just who you are. But you don't know who these people are. Clearly, this woman could be a child of the Most High, or any of us. Can our children of the Most High is getting fucked over by people who feel entitled to do so just because they have money? That's dangerous, because you didn't always have money. And my thing is, it baffles me how people behave like this when most times, the money you had, you got from the people. You wouldn't have, and I can't stress this enough because I said it in former episodes. Specifically artists, you wouldn't be on the thrones unless the people put you there. You dig? The money that you get come from the people. Who else is buying your shit? You and your family ain't made you rich. You dig what I'm saying? So when you have this sort of cockiness and arrogance about yourself because you have wealth, and then you're operating in a low frequency and you're toxic anyway? Yeah. The world is a circle for a reason. It's called the karmic circle. What you put out is what comes back. If you sow good seeds, you're going to get that back. If you sow bad seeds, don't matter how long it takes, you're going to get that back. That's a Snapple fact. In any form, in any way that will affect you in your life or your family and theirs, right? So, I mentioned that because now I've read earlier today, I said, oh, that's too much shit going on. I got to talk now. The woman that brought this lawsuit against Onika and her husband is also alleging that she's affiliated with a gang, a blood set, if I'm not mistaken. I ain't going to get into a set and all that. But if you want to know, fucking Google it. They'll tell you. You know, the media has no problem airing out people's business. But yeah, this woman is saying she was intimidated by the gang and Nikki's gang affiliations. I think they even have footage of Onika, her husband, and these gang affiliates. So it seems like people are digging themselves a hole, or a hole has definitely been dug, even if they're not the ones who dug it themselves. But there's a hole dug, and it ain't dug for nothing. Somebody's going in that hole. So, yeah, I think her husband goes back to court in January. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that lawsuit has not disappeared. Unfortunately, I think earlier this year, Nikki went through a lawsuit with Tracy Chapman over some copyright music and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Now you got Cardi B, who has her own legal issues. She actually just bought a home in New York, which I'm like, in New York City, and I'm like, what the fuck was that about? Like, you left New York, you left the Bronx, you bought a home in Atlanta, you bought a home somewhere else. She got homes in several places. Her husband just bought her a home in DR, and now she purchased a home here back in New York City. But she has legal issues here in the city, and I'm thinking maybe that's probably why she bought a home here, so she can comfortably continue addressing these matters while staying in her own home, opposed to having to be in a hotel and all this other dumb shit. Well, I guess she has been adjourning her cases continuously. And after a while in the legal system, you know, I don't think people understand how that looks. It looks like you're trying to ignore the situation or put it off or just procrastinate. And the court does not take kindly to time wasted. They don't like their time wasted, okay? Be careful of that when you got litigations. The judge awards some fairness in adjournments, but when you just start adjourning shit way too much without good probable cause, it gets frowned upon. It looks very bad against the person who's in court. And so I think she has a court appearance that she's alleging. She just postponed the last one. Said some used the reasoning of her just giving birth or something like that as the cause for why she couldn't make that appearance. And now this one is, there's a family emergency in Georgia. I don't know how that's going to hold up for her, because criminals use excuses, and I'm not suggesting that she is one, but I want people to understand that situations like that is not an excuse to miss an appearance. Family emergency is the emergency with you, because unless it's with you, where is the emergency? The court don't really give a fuck about what's going on with your family. Not to say they're not sensitive, but you've already had too many, how you say, slap on the wrist, adjournment. And it seems like every time you're supposed to come to court for this matter, you find or coincidentally, some sort of issue transpires that's preventing you to do so. And I don't know how much longer she thinks that's going to pan out to where that's going to be acceptable in the court. Just so you know, like, I work for the court system. I don't know where people think, because they are who they are, they have what they have, at some point, even that means nothing when people are fucking fed up with your behavior and the way that you are choosing to take accountability or address the allegations against you. This is a serious matter. The judge don't give a fuck who you are. The judges don't give a fuck Cardi B, Nicki Minaj. They don't give a fuck about none of that. They're not impressed. Half of them are not fans. So that shit doesn't, like, if you banking on that to get you off, well, crazy. What? Megan Thee Stallion finished college. She obtained her bachelor's degree. Congratulations to her. I read somewhere where somebody threw shade and was like, finally, after 7 years, though. Doesn't matter. She got it done, right? She took a lot longer than you're supposed to take to get a 4-year degree, but she got it done, right? Says a lot, because some people don't or did not have the discipline to do that, right? So I always will congratulate someone for taking the time to discipline themselves to receive higher education. I think for me, I was very much disappointed. And the photo she chose to take recently with her sash from her school. Now, again, you know, people do what they want to do. They don't need Nicole's position. Y'all don't need my permission. They don't need my permission, right? But I'm still entitled to my opinion. And as a Black woman myself, a mother and educated female, I felt that photo she took was completely tasteless and tacky. You know, it's hard enough as a Black female, educated Black female, to get this world to take us serious, right? And the things that we say and the things that we do and the things that we stand for. She's even admitted herself, I believe it was last year, when she was going through that whole Tory Lanez situation, she felt that, you know, Black women voices do not get heard. And she got, you know, publicized a lot for her stance in that. They, you know, the world almost made her seem like the Sojourner Truth for Black women. I wasn't okay with that, because many women have said what she said more elaborately and more convincingly, have done more work and didn't just make that statement. They've shown in their actions why they feel that way, and not just at the convenience of some type of situation they were going through. Because that's why I felt like all of that really came out of her mouth. But moving forward, a journalist covered the story about her completing her studies, and I had to fucking laugh, you guys, because, you know, I too went to college and I went to grad school. And a lot of people just don't understand the seriousness or the importance of your GPA. And I've said this before on the podcast in the past. Nowadays, employers are not just looking at degrees. Why? Because so many people are going to college. A lot more people have gotten higher education. So when you're trying to, I hate to say rule out, but that's just what it is. You're trying to rule out the competition on a job interview, and you got two people with bachelor degrees. How do you do that? Well, you do that based on the personality of the person that interviewed. How did you like them when they interviewed? But you also make the determination or the determinants by your transcripts, your GPA. And I won't lie. If I'm a manager, I probably am going to hire the individual with a 3.5 versus a person with a 2.6. That's just me, right? I laugh because, you know, either journalists are fucking slow as fuck, or they just write shit just to fucking write it. Because this journalist, and I quote, and congratulating Megan on completing her bachelor's, indicated that she finished with a 2.7 GPA, which is a C-plus average. And when he discussed it, he said that she had a B average. And you know my ass, I looked at that shit and laughed, because what college is this? Like, you know, stop reaching. Let's give her her flowers for finishing, right? But don't reach, my nigga. Don't stretch it. And don't go extra with it. Like, let her have her moment. She finished. She didn't finish as strong as she probably would have liked to when it comes to her GPA. But don't try to make something that ain't. A 2.7 is a C average. Simple as that. B, just know, because I think people need to know, because you don't know who reads the things that they read and they believe that shit. So, if you ever hear anybody tell you a B average starts at a 2.7 or a 2.8, they're lying. They don't round numbers, people, when it comes to a GPA, okay? A 4.0 is an A. A 3.0 to a 3.9 is a B. It could, well, in some colleges, they even have B minuses. Mine didn't, but it could go anywhere from a B minus, B to a B plus, right? And then just to graduate, you need a C average, which means a 2.0 average. Anybody who's went to college knows that I'm telling the truth. So you can pretty much get a degree making C's your entire semester. You can get 70s in every semester and finish and get a degree. Yeah, yeah, you can. This is why I'm not always impressed by people who have degrees. How well did you do in school is what I want to know, you know? But I'm mentioning Megan all to say that I think the photo that she took really took away from the seriousness and the hard work many black women before her, who did not have it so easy to be able to go to school, who had to suffer to want to get higher education, went through a lot of shit just to be able to sit in them seats. To take that kind of picture, to me, discredited all of that. All the things our ancestors battled hard to get. You know, entertainment is entertainment. You feel sexy, you want to portray your body in that way, fine, to each his own. But why attach higher education with that look? It's bad enough the world only sees, well, I don't want to say only, well, mostly sees black women particularly as sexualized creatures. We're not even taken serious in most occasions. So to go ahead and associate higher education with a photo like that is disturbing to me. And I took offense to it because I am a educated black female. And no matter what else I got going on in my life, I would have never attached such a provocative photo to my education like that. I wouldn't have. But that's why I mean she's her, right? Especially when I don't hear you talk anything, or I don't hear her speak anything profoundly intelligent. Everything with her is ratchet, thought type, sex oriented, money influence. I don't hear anything ever said from her lyrics that spit any form of substance or intelligence. But hey, she ain't making music for that crowd of people, I guess, you know. But yeah, I'm still gonna speak my piece. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Now, before I get up out of here, I will talk about what I do like, though. I'm gonna leave y'all on a positive note. If you haven't already checked out the Netflix movie, The Harder They Fall, I don't know where the fuck you at. You need to. This movie, directed and produced, directed by James Samuel, produced by Hove and some other people, as well as James Samuel. I'm sorry if I don't know your name right off this because I'm freelancing this, you guys, so I don't have no papers and shit in front of me like most people do. This movie is completely fucking stellar. Like, the performance, the acting performances, the production, you know, first of all, I never had a love for Westerns like that. Maybe because when I was growing up, you know, the whole Western shows that I saw with my grandpa, I didn't really see no black people unless they were depicted as slaves or being fucked up. So I didn't really care for Westerns. But 1 year while working at the firm that I work at, I decided during Black History Month, and then I made it a annual thing, and then I stopped and other people picked it up. But I made a collage of influential black Americans. And one of the people that I had on the wall was the original, the Lone Ranger, or was it? It was. I believe it was the Lone Ranger, but there was a highly misconception about the race of the Lone Ranger. And I think that is based on the character of Bass Reeves, who is actually a character in the movie, the film that I just mentioned to you, The Harder They Fall. A lot of people didn't know that the Lone Ranger was African-American. And so this was basically before the whole theory of the Lone Ranger was actually introduced to the public. There was Bass Reeves, and he was a real life cowboy. And it could have been, it's stated that he actually inspired the character, I should say, of the Lone Ranger. But nonetheless, not trying to get all politically correct here, this fucking film is an amazing, brilliant film. Okay, the cast, my God, the cast. I have to pause for a second because the cast was phenomenal. Idris Elba, Zazie Beetz, Regina King, Jonathan Majors was amazing as Nat Love. Lakeith Stanfield as Cherokee Bill. RJ Seiler, y'all remember him from Everybody Hates. Yeah, he grew up. Delroy Lindo. Danielle Deadweiler, loved her as Kofi. This film had me so proud. I wish I was in a motherfucking movie. Like, somebody need to call my black. I know how to act. Act a fool. But I am so proud to be black. Amen. And so, ironically, on Friday, I was able, prior to what happened at Astroworld, that Friday evening, earlier that afternoon, I was invited to a Twitter chat with a lot of other prestigious journalists, celebrities was in the building. Actually, I believe Hove started this forum. And it was conducted with along with Twitter and Netflix, obviously. Those were the co-hosts, but James was a speaker, and obviously Hove was a speaker. Some other people spoke and asked questions. Elliot spoke to ask questions, Nori asked questions, April asked questions, and these just was some of the people that were in attendance at this forum to discuss this movie, and I was honored to be able to be there, because as I was looking at all the names of the people that were there, I was noticing, like, damn, Cole, you're the only one in the building without a blue check. So yeah, I was there though. I was there. So yeah, shout out to you, Ho. Word up. That nigga's the fucking, he's a genius. A fucking pure genius. As is James and everyone else who contributed to this movie. And I look forward to seeing us Black people think more outside the box and do films like this. All Black cast, and do films that speak of real life people, maybe not necessarily the way the movie portrayed it to be, but these were all actual people, Black people in history. Stagecoach Mary, actual person. And you know, I think critics were very disappointed in James not choosing an actor to portray Stagecoach Mary that resembled her more, because this was a dark-skinned, heavier set woman, and Zazie Beetz, as beautiful as she is, does not resemble Stagecoach Mary at all, which gave, you know, room for a lot of people to speculate colorism, which we cannot ignore, is definitely in entertainment. So if I was disappointed about anything, that probably was it. That probably was my only disappointing moment, is the way that the casting was done. James did speak about this in the forum that I was a part of, that I was honored to be a part of, in which he indicates that even Elba's character, Rufus Buck, was originally... his storyline was based on an 18-year-old, and you know, like he kept stressing, it just obviously doesn't look 18. And so I think for him, he was not trying to align actors that resemble the actual character they were portraying. Clearly, because Stagecoach Mary doesn't look anything like Stagecoach Mary looks, and I think I understand his reason for doing that. I totally get it, but I think we need to start projecting the truth and trying to get actors that resemble, because there's a reason why these stories need to be told, and there's a reason why the stories need to be aligned with a certain image. And when you take the truth of the imagery away from the character, then you create, you know, a falsehood in a way. Whether you understand that or not, you still tell this tale, but a tale of lies, inadvertently, even if you don't realize it. Because people now, you know, who never heard of Stagecoach Mary will see this movie and automatically identify that character as someone who looks like the person they saw in that movie. I mean, when we watched Malcolm X in the 90s, Spike Lee was very brilliant in casting Denzel to play Malcolm and making sure he looked as closely resembled to Malcolm as possible. Why would I have an actor who doesn't look as close to the person that I need them to portray, as well as, you know, most biography movies that came out or come out? Usually the people do look like the people they're portraying. So if there were any criticisms that I had to give, which probably would be only that, but I absolutely loved this film. I look forward to seeing more films. And James is no rookie. He's a veteran when it comes to film. He's been in a lot of films. Couldn't even sit here and name all the films he's had some participation in. Hancock, I think he had a lot to do with Bad Boys. Just so many. It's so many to even try to give you right now. But if you haven't seen this film, I don't know why you haven't. Please go check it out. It's an amazing, amazing Western. And whether you're Black, white, Spanish, whatever, I have no doubt that you will enjoy this film. It's brilliantly directed. produced and written. So shout out to the cast and everybody that was involved in the making of this film. Like, the shit was so awesome. I'm like, which people did speak of in the chat room that I was in, the potential of a sequel of another film like this. Somebody need to call me. Hello. I want to be in this motherfucking movie. I really did. I was watching this shit. And I've missed movies like that, that give me that energy. It's been a while since I've really come across. I mean, for me, the last real emotional movie that resonated to the core of my soul I saw was probably Slim. Queen and Slim or some shit like that. Slim and Queen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That was the last movie I saw that really wowed me. Like, oh, fuck. Whoa. But yeah, you guys, check that out. And yeah, I'm going to wrap this all up. Again, also, I've told you guys months ago to check out AZ's album as well. Like, this is literally the only album I've been playing since it came out. I mean, literally, I will not play anything else. Every now and again, I mean, I love Hov and I love Wayne, so I'll rotate between those two, right? But it's literally right now just AZ, Hov, and Wayne in my being filtered over and over again, but mostly AZ. Huge fan. I told you guys that before. I grew up in the 90s. I've always been a fan, so I ain't just jump on the bandwagon type shit. Like, I've been repping AZ since I was able to run these streets in 96. And Do or Die is definitely one of my favorite albums. But if you have not heard that album, my nigga, you need to. So inspiring, so full of life and conscious thinking. And he did it again. That's what I'm going to say. Like, that brother is smooth, man. Peace, God, because that nigga is the illest. Word up. He is really one of the best lyricists that I've been blessed to hear in my lifetime, right? So, like I said, the whole album is sick. That's why I played a song for you guys. I do not own the rights, and I ain't getting no money from it, so I just really wanted you guys to hear that. Different is another great track. Bulletproof is my favorite too. Ritual with Conway the Machine, Wayne, awesome. Wayne was smart to get on this album. Wayne was definitely smart to get on this fucking album. But yeah, check that album out, and I'm gonna leave y'all with that. And you know, next time you hear from me, hopefully I can be telling you the book is done, right? So, sending all of you guys love, light, blessings, and peace. Cole loves you. Even to those who don't love me, it's cool. I'm good anyway. Still love ya. But on that note, I'm out of here, you guys. And as always, thanks for fucking with your girl. I do this for y'all. Later, you guys. Which many of you guys probably already know, but I just felt a sort of responsibility to indicate the updates. As you guys may have already been aware of, other people may not. When it comes to the story that I spoke of, or the tragedy, I should say, that we are all aware of, that it took place last Friday in Houston, Texas. So, just briefly, wanted to indicate some key points in relations to this situation. For one, obviously, more victims are coming forward. More suits, lawsuits are coming forward. There's a young guy by the a young child, about 9 years old, was pretty much fighting for his life right now with being in a coma with brain trauma, and other people as well. More victims have been surfacing with very severe injuries. On Travis Scott's end, I think what he has done thus far is agree to refund everyone's money that attended the concert. He's also agreed to pay the funeral expenses of 48 people who unfortunately lost their lives at the concert. In addition to that, he's also, yeah, apologies, you guys, believe it or not, I'm actually outside. and it's like 5 a.m. type shit, so yeah. So I'm headed back to the house. But anywho, as I was saying, yeah, so he's definitely agreed to cover the funeral costs. There are some mental health services that he will be offering for those who were affected by the tragedy. And he stated that he's going to remain in, you know, active, you know, communications with the city of Houston and its government officials in regards to, you know, trying to figure out what went completely wrong last Friday. So this is just like some of the many steps he's taken as his personal vow to assist those who have been affected by this. And, you know, I will say that, you know, in a situation like this, I don't praise anybody for doing the right thing. You know, I don't know if the, how that sits with you guys, but, you know, whatever it is that is morally right that he's doing, in my opinion, doesn't get a round of applause. It's because that's what you should be doing. You understand? Like, some things don't need a platform, you know, when it's done because you're doing it because it's the right thing to do, or you're doing something because it's damn near expected for that to be done under the circumstances. So nothing taken away from what he's doing, because it's clearly something that should be done and should be done from him. But I'm not going to overemphasize what's being done, because in my honest opinion, you guys, it's expected. That's what you're supposed to do, and so much more in a situation like this. So I'm not going to, you know, hype up any more than the media already has in regards to what Travis is doing to kind of, you know, remedy, if you will, the situation, which clearly can't on some levels be remedied. But, you know, again, acknowledgement on my end to let my listeners know what exactly he has done thus far or is stating he plans to do going forward. So, and yeah, you guys know, I actually did touch briefly when I discussed my views on what transpired, how this is definitely a mental health concern by far. Like, yeah. So it is good to see that that aspect of it has been addressed, because I can only imagine, you know, after hearing the testimonies of several people who went to the concert, watching the news, getting constant feedback on what happened. Yeah. Shit, I'm traumatized just looking at that shit from my motherfucking house. So I can only fucking imagine. But yeah, you guys, just want to give you guys an update. You know me, start finding out shit after I already covered shit. I feel like I need to explain some shit. So yeah, there you have it. And enjoy your day. Later, you guys.